It is our custom to pause a few moments for silent prayer. This offers you the opportunity for rebound if necessary, and to shift gears into strict academic discipline for concentration on our study. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for again graciously allowing us the privilege of studying your word, the opportunity to function under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit, his direction and guidance as far as understanding your word is concerned, and thereby enabling us to continue our pursuit of truth to the end that we might glorify Christ as we continue in this objective. It is to these ends we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are studying the doctrine of eternal life, and on Sunday we got through with yet another sub-paragraph, actually, in that study. There was an introductory paragraph, number two, segments of eternal life, which we simply defined. And then in paragraph three, we noted the characteristics of each segment. Now we're noting the eternal state in paragraph four. We've now done the four beginnings. Secondly, the logical difference between eternity and time. And then on Sunday, we took up paragraph C, new heavens and the new earth. Tonight, we begin paragraph D, a retrospective look at the old heavens and the old earth. And this from our central passage in Revelation 21. We will examine it in a rather brief fashion, no major exegesis. But we will note Revelation 21 from verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 5, as we examine the eternal state, this being the major passage in Scripture with regard to that subject. And verse 1 of Revelation 21 reads, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were blown away, and there was no longer any sea." Now we want to take a look now retrospectively at the old heavens and the old earth, how these came about. So let's get started. Point one. In this paragraph, we will apply the first and second laws of thermodynamics to the creation passages of Scripture. We examined all of that in detail on Sunday morning. Tapes are available if you need to brush up on those. Secondly, in doing so, we will prove that the universe was created up and running as we observe it today, and that it is not the result of evolutionary processes. Ex nihilo, katizo, bara mean instantaneous creation. It doesn't mean Big Bang. It doesn't mean some explosion where you have all matter. Imagine the faith it takes to believe this. All matter concentrated in something about the size of a nickel, exploding and becoming what we know today as the universe. And it took scillions of years for this to happen. So that, of course, flies in the face of the ex nihilo concept, as well as a principle that is clearly stated in Genesis 1:1 and reaffirmed in Isaiah 48, verse 15. No, I was right. Isaiah 45, verse 18. We'll get to it tonight anyhow, so don't worry. In those two passages, we have confirmation of the fact that when God creates something, and the agent of creation is Jesus Christ, that creation is absolutely perfect. The evolutionary model is very clear in stating that there was a gradual getting better and better process that went on. And it started out as some little small dot out in the middle of who knows where, and when it exploded, an evolutionary process began that gradually got better and better. Now that flies in the face of the creation verbs that we're going to note. And that will be a subject of our study this evening. Three, we will begin with a principle that the perfect God of the universe, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, could not by definition create anything that is imperfect. A perfect God does not create something that is not perfect. Four, We can establish this by examining the creation verbs in Genesis 1:1, Isaiah 45, verse 18. Further, point 5. We can establish that the earth entered a state of chaos, suspended animation, as a result of the Luciferian rebellion, as noted in Genesis 1, verse 2. Now, I think on Sunday, Paul Davey brought in a new visual, and you may reference that if you wish. I'll put it on the board for those who don't have one, and I think copies may be at the bookcase over there. But what we're going to do is go through this particular visual, and we will note three different periods with regard to status quo earth. The first one we will note, and we've just mentioned Genesis 1:1, is a perfect universe during a period of angelic harmony with God. And then we will note Genesis 1:2, which indicates a period of time at which Lucifer was under trial. The angelic conflict was underway. There was the trial at Bar. The universe during that time was frozen in suspended animation, and that's this middle panel. And then afterward, after the trial is over and the appeal trial is approved, then we move into this third panel here, where we will see the restoration of the earth, the creation of man, and the habitation of the earth. So we have three sections here, three panels that must be examined in order to appreciate the old heavens and the old earth. And that's going to take us to, first of all, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So point 6, we need, before we go there, to establish the premise that God is perfect. And I've picked out three verses that clearly state that. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, the initial section of that verse, the rock, his work is perfect. And you all know that the rock is the way the Old Testament defines the Messiah. Thus, it references Jesus Christ, who is the creator of the universe, and that creation is perfect, you will note. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So God the Father is perfect, and obviously all members of the Trinity would be. And the third verse I've chosen is Hebrews 5, verse 9. Having been made perfect, he, Jesus Christ, became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. So Jesus Christ was made perfect. And this has to do with hypostatic union in that passage. Now, point 7. A perfect God can only create that which is perfect. Therefore, the idea that this universe was created in some sort of disorder and chaos and then ultimately achieved the level of order that we know today simply contradicts the idea of a perfect creator. It is incongruous to imagine that the perfect Christ would create anything imperfect. And this is borne out by two passages dealing with the creation of the universe. Now let's go to Genesis 1, verse 1. We'll spend some time here. In the beginning, that's the beginning of the universe. And again, we go to our chart here. This is eternity past, and then we see the dotted line. I'm using dotted lines to indicate time, and I did that recently in another visual. So here's our dotted line, and as this arrow moves forward, this is the creation of the angels here at point 1, and then the angels move through the eternal state, and we would have to define this, having no vocabulary to do otherwise. We would say that a certain amount of time passed after the creation of the angels before there was the creation of the universe and likewise time. And what precipitated the creation here is that God wanted to provide a perfect area in which the angelic community could function in their service to him. So he created the universe, and he did so perfectly. This is Jesus Christ creating a perfect universe, and that included a perfect planet Earth. And the angelic community had access to the entire universe when they were at harmony with God. And so time actually began with the original creation, and it was a perfect creation. And then that Genesis 1:1 is where that is noted, in the beginning. Not in the beginning of God, He is eternal. There is a beginning for the universe, and that occurs right here at, at the dotted line. Genesis 1:1 then reads, in the beginning of the universe, God, specifically Jesus Christ, created the heavens and the earth. And the creation verb here is bara. That's B-A-R-A. Bara. Which is one of four creation verbs found in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. Now let me show those to you. I brought a chart so we wouldn't have to constantly write this on the board 100 times like we otherwise would have to do. And there, these are the four creation verbs with their definitions. And I've even shown you the Hebrew here of each of these. And there, here's the English transliteration. Then there's a brief definition. Now we'll work through all of these. And it's important to see where they're used and what the function is of each. So there are four. They need to be distinguished from each other. And they need to be defined so that you can understand how each is used. So subpoint one, bara. Bara refers in Scripture exclusively to God and His creative acts. Never do you see this verb used in reference to human activities. It's always used with reference to divine activity. And you'll see from its definition why. Bara means to create something out of nothing. That is, where nothing previously existed, by the voice command of God, all things came into existence. In other words, God said, universe be and universe was, and that was that, and it was perfect. The equivalent Greek word is one that we've noted in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It's katizo. K-T-I-Z-O, and it is equal to bara, and it is equal to ex nihilo. All three mean the same thing, katizo, bara, ex nihilo, to create something out of nothing. And that, again, is a verb that is only used with God in Scripture. Meaning, the meaning of that is that it means to create something out of nothing. And only God could do that. And He did it, namely Jesus Christ, in Genesis 1:1. So we have katizo, the equivalent in the Greek, found in Colossians 1:16, the Latin creatio ex nihilo. Now the second verb that we are to note here is asa. And asa generally means to make or to fashion. Now, the more precise meaning is to create something according to a pattern. To create something according to a pattern. And for example, let's note how that occurs. The creation of the human soul is described by both of these verbs. Now, if you will look down, since you now are opened to Genesis 1:1, you can go in the Scriptures down to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And that is where we see the creation of the invisible nature of the human life, and that is soul life. And that is not going to be visible, it's going to be immaterial. And it is going to be modeled after a pattern. And that pattern is the personality of God's essence. God has a personality, He has a soul-like essence. In other words, it is invisible in many ways, and He has modeled our souls after His essence or His personality. And that comes out in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. Betselem is the word for image, B-E-T-S-E-L-E-M. And it actually would be better translated shadow image. It's not an exact replica of who and what God's personality and essence is. That would be blasphemous, obviously. But it is a shadow replication, a shadow image of this. Therefore, the essence of man's soul is patterned after divine essence in the sense that it is immaterial, it is spiritual, it is rational, moral, and relational. Such essence is therefore real, but it is invisible. And so where God has self-consciousness, he obviously knows who and what he is. He has a mentality. He is able to think, to will, and to decide. He has, therefore, a volition. These things are what we have, and thus we have a shadow image within our soul of how God functions. God is able to think, he is able to will, he is able to act. And we are graced out with that same concept. Now, Genesis 1:26 reveals to us then that our souls, our immaterial nature, is modeled after God's. It is a shadow image of this. And the verb there, you will note, let us make man in our image. That verb to make is asa. It is the second word you see on our chart. It means to create according to a pattern. That is, to create in the image or the shadow image of divine essence. Therefore, our soul essence is modeled after the spiritual essence of God. However, in the following verse we read, Genesis 1:27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. On all three occasions, verse 27 uses the verb bara. Now, verse 26 used asa, to create following some type of pre-existing pattern. Here we see bara, when the actual creation of the soul occurs, and that means it was created out of nothing. So what God has done here is said, I am going to create an immaterial nature for this new creature called mankind. And I am going to model it after my soul essence, if we can borrow that term for a moment. It will be after that model, but when the actual creative act occurs, it will be out of nothing. I will create souls out from nothing, but once created, they will be after this particular pattern. So all three occasions in verse 27, the verb create that you see there is bara, confirming that the soul itself was created out of nothing. However, when God created the human soul, both male and female, that creation was patterned after divine essence. Therefore, the verb used in verse 26 is asa. Now, we've done two. Bara, to create matter or energy from no pre-existing materials. Your soul is energy. Asa, to create matter or energy from a pre-existing pattern. The soul, once created ex nihilo, was after a pattern that was determined by God in eternity past. Now, that gives you an idea of these first two creation verbs. Now, number three, yatser. By the way, asa is A-S-A-H, yatser is Y-A-T-S-A-R. And it is used to describe the molding of materials to create a finished product such as a potter would mold clay. And this is the verb used in Genesis 2:7 to describe how the Lord formed Adam's physical body from the chemicals of the soil. Now, Adam is a completely different idea here. Yatser is used in the creation of Adam, not asa, not bara. Now, Genesis 2:7 reads this way. Then the Lord God formed man. Now, there's a creation verb. Jesus Christ is in the perfection of the Garden of Eden. And let me show you where we are in our discussion at the moment as we notice the creation verbs. This particular one is found down here where the restoration of the earth has made it to the sixth day. The sixth day of restoration finds the creation of mankind. And mankind is not created bara as was the universe. And mankind is not created bara or asa like was his soul. The body of man is created yatser, which is the third creation verb. Then the Lord formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Now, we've given you this chart 100 times, and here's the way it would look. We have, in this particular case, there's no pregnancy anywhere. Man is going to be created out of the chemicals that are found in the earth. And so man is going to be laid out here as he's been created. But this right here is biological life. Now you will note here in the verse, then the Lord formed man of the dust from the ground. And yatser is the creation verb. So when he gets through with biological life, there it lies. There it lies. And he's laying there, but he is not alive. So what does he do? He's already decided to create soul life. And that soul life will be modeled after divine essence. That's asa. But then when soul life is actually created, that soul that's imputed to Adam was created ex nihilo, therefore bara. And this soul life is imputed to biological life. And at the end of the verse, it says he became a living being. That is human life. So soul life plus biological life equals human life. And we see that whole process right here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Now, you've seen that chart before. And here's how it applies to Adam. Then the Lord formed, Lord God formed, that's Jesus Christ. And the verb is yatser. He formed man of the dust of the ground, that's biological life, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that's soul life. And man became a living being. And he gets up and walks around, and he is Adam. Now, you can see that as the third verb then, yatser, to create by molding pre-existing matter. The idea is to mold materials, therefore to create a finished product as a potter would mold clay. So what did the Lord do? He just dug down into the earth and pulled up all of the elements and chemicals he needed and in a miraculous way molded Adam. And what did he do on this occasion? He created biological life from existing materials, pre-existing materials. And that is the creation verb yatser. Now that's not bara. That is not out of nothing. He created Adam out of the chemicals of the soil. Now number four is bana. It is the final creation verb used in the Old Testament. And it refers to the techniques used by a sculptor to form an image. And this is the creation verb used to describe the creation of Isha. And that is seen in Genesis 2, verse 22. The Lord God fashioned is the way that one is phrased in the New American Standard, I believe. And the creation verb that it indicates is bana, B-A-N-A-H. And the Lord God fashioned, or banad, into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. So now we have a creation where the Lord takes something from the side of Adam. I was talking to Weldon recently, and a lot of modern medical technology has revealed that there is tremendous amount of data in the bone marrow of ribs, more data than they have ever imagined. Bone marrow is very important for constructing new cells and so on. And if I remember correctly, I think they say that they can find an element there in that bone marrow that is able to produce neurons. So if you have Alzheimer's, apparently the research done there is to just go in there into the bone marrow of a rib and create new neurons. How that will play out, we'll have to wait and see. But medical science is coming up with these things, showing that, you know, in the past they would go into the spine and try to find bone marrow there. Now they're learning that the ribs have the most, are replete with these types of cells, let's call them. I'm not a doctor. But the ribs, they're where to go for this. And the Lord went in there and got a rib and probably dug his finger in there and pulled out this phenomenal treasure of information that he had just created in Adam and used that to then sculpt a new creature, and that creature being Isha. And maybe I can find an article on that after a while and relate some of the details about that to you. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We, medical science, is simply a study of what Jesus Christ accomplished in Eden. Medical science is designed to resolve the problems that came to that creation post-fall. Were it not for the fall, then we wouldn't need doctors. We'd all be perfectly healthy. And therefore, a study of medicine is a study of the creative act of Jesus Christ. And it's best if the doctors keep that in mind. They don't need to get in their minds that they're just looking at a bottle of goo held together by skin that just came up out of the earth, and they're learning how it functions, and it all was evolutionary and claptrap like that. It is the creative act of Christ. It is a system that He put together right there in Eden. And the woman was sculpted. The man was molded. The soul was patterned after divine essence. And the elements of the soil that were used to construct man, his biological life and that of the woman, was created ex nihilo at the moment of creation. So point eight, in summary, then, we have four verbs that describe various methods of creation used by God in Scripture. And you see this on the board. This is where I got this. I just made it bigger and put it on an overhead. Number one, bara, to create matter or energy from no pre-existing materials. That is ex nihilo creation. Number two, asa, to create matter or energy from a pre-existing pattern. Number three, yatser, to create by molding pre-existing matter. And four, bana, to create by sculpting pre-existing materials. Nine. Now the reason we have taken the time to distinguish all of these verbs is because three of them come into view in Isaiah 45, verse 18, and they do so in a very important way. Now, it's important now that you go to Isaiah 45, verse 18, if you don't have pre-class notes, for you need to keep that verse visible so that you can reference it as we go through this. It is a little bit confusing if you don't follow along, and I'll try to eliminate the confusion as we go. We'll start simply by quoting the verse, Isaiah 45, 18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, you will probably find in your English translations that smack in the middle of that is a parenthesis. So here's how it reads without the parenthesis. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, within the parenthesis, we read this. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. Now, it is within the parenthesis that we're going to pick up information that we need in our referencing back to Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. So let's go with this, and we'll go slowly so we get this. Point 10. Isaiah is reporting a quote under divine inspiration from the Lord Jesus Christ. In introducing the quote, he identifies Christ as the one who created the heavens. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. And the word Isaiah uses for created is the past tense of bara. Going, that takes you back to Genesis 1:1 and Colossians 1:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord. Who's the Lord here? It is Jesus Christ. He created the heavens. Now, how do we know it's Christ? Bara is the verb. Takes you right back to Genesis 1:1, Colossians 1:16. He then elaborates on a number of additional details in the parenthesis that follows. If you're not quite yet clear on who it is that's about to speak, I'm going to give you more information. And Isaiah, for some reason, puts it in a parenthetical. Point 11. In this parenthesis, there are three creation verbs. Yatser is used twice. Asa is used once. And bara is used once. First, point 12, Isaiah points out that the one who created the universe is the very same one who formed the earth actually do, is we have to keep up with our creation verbs as we go along. But I want to show you that we have in the opening here, "Thus says the Lord who created out of nothing the heavens." Now, where does that take us? It takes us right here to Genesis 1, verse 1. Bara. Then in a parenthetical, he says, "Who formed the earth, he molded it from pre-existing materials." And that is the opening of the parenthetical. He is the God who formed the earth, who formed the earth. Now that's Yatzer. Now what did we learn about Yatzer? It means to mold out of pre-existing materials. He just said he was the Lord who created the earth ex nihilo. Now how can it be both? How can he say that Jesus Christ created the universe bara, and then in the next breath say that he molded it out of pre-existing materials? The reason that Isaiah says this is because there was a time when the earth had to be restored from a chaotic condition to its previous pristine perfection. And it was an existing planet at that time, and therefore there was no bara creation needed. The materials were there. All Jesus Christ was required to do was to restore it to its previous status of pristine perfection. And that's where we see right here the third panel, and that begins actually in Genesis 1 verse 3. Genesis 1 verse 3 is restoration of the earth using the existing materials already there. And that tells us that something happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Something happened to change the original perfection into a status of chaos that needed restoration. All right. Now I know you're confused, but once you get this, you have backed the evolutionist into a corner, and you clearly understand precisely how the whole operation works. Now, if you're not getting this, we'll do it again. But you got to know this. This is it. "Thus says the Lord who created out of nothing the heavens." Parenthesis. "He is the God who formed the earth." That's restoration. "And made it." So we have molding, Yatzer. It does not refer to the original ex nihilo creation, but to an act that occurred after that. And it refers, therefore, to the restoration of a fallen planet. Perfection, panel one. Fallen, panel two. Restored, panel three. All right. We plug away, we'll go back and do it all over when we get through. Make sure you got it. Point 13. To this, Isaiah adds the statement that the Lord molded the earth when he molded it, the earth, he did so according to a pre-existing pattern. Therefore, he made or asad it. Now, there is a restoration progress going on in panel 3. It says that restoration is Yatzer. It then goes on to say that he made it. And that is asa, a pre-existing pattern. And the pattern used for the restoration process was the perfection of the original creation before it fell into a chaotic state. So when we have the original creation bara, due to an event we will note later, there was a chaotic condition that overtook perfection and took it into status quo chaos. And then at the creation, that it had to be restored for population by mankind. And that restoration process was done by Yatzer. He molded it and asa, a pre-existing pattern. And so he took the existing materials that were now chaotic and he restored them to the pristine perfection of Genesis 1:1. That's Asa. Point 14. This chaotic condition is addressed by the next phrase. He established it and did not create it a waste place. In other words, we've got bara showing up again. It says here, he established it and he did not create it. That takes you back to the first panel. He did not, in the original creation, create the universe, tohu wa bohu, a waste place. Two actual nouns they are describing the chaotic condition. One is used by Isaiah, tohu, a waste place. It wasn't created that way. Here's bara again right here. Go back to your verse. Parenthetical. He is the God who formed Yatzer, the earth, and made it Asa. Molded it, and he did so according to a pre-existing pattern. The pre-existing pattern, the perfection of Genesis 1:1. He established it and did not create it, bara, meaning panel 1, the original creation. He did not create it a tohu, a waste place. But, he formed it to be inhabited, Yatzer again, molded it. Therefore, panel 1, original creation. Ex nihilo, a moment in time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, a perfect God does not create anything that is imperfect. Therefore, this was absolute total perfection. It occurred at a point we call the beginning of time. The earth and the universe were perfect, created by Christ, Genesis 1:1. Then the fall of Lucifer occurs. And at the fall of Lucifer, at his trial at Bar, he is convicted of rebellion, along with one-third of the angelic creation. Therefore, the universe is frozen and placed in suspended animation and enters into a condition of chaos. And how long this condition existed, we do not know. But where in the Bible does it occur? It occurs between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And I will display and demonstrate this to you by exegesis. Those of you who love exegesis, you're going to get some. By exegesis, we will prove that Genesis 1:2 does not follow sequentially from Genesis 1:1. Got it? When you read Genesis 1:1 and you get to the heavens and the earth period, stop there. Do not read any further. What you need to do at that point is go to Isaiah 45 verse 18 and read that. Then come back to Genesis 1:2. That's the only way you can understand Genesis 1:2. Okay, got to do it again. I see wrinkled brows. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning of the universe, God, specifically Jesus Christ, created ex nihilo, the heavens and the earth. Absolute total perfection in the universe. The angels are involved in this. The angels have access to the universe. And you see the creation of the angels precedes the creation of the universe. They were at harmony with God. We note the angelic harmony, and they therefore have access to the universe as well as planet Earth. There is a Luciferian rebellion that we have studied in detail in Ezekiel 28, noting the fall in verses 16 through 17, precipitating a trial at which Lucifer and one-third of the angelic community were found guilty of sedition and therefore sentenced to the lake of fire, which was created in eternity past, as you've learned. Now, we see here that the fall of Lucifer means that the universe is frozen, and we'll note how it's frozen in due time. We can't get there tonight. But it is locked down tight. There is no movement. Absolute zero in the universe. And then, when the appeal trial is approved, and new witnesses are needed, then there needs to be a place for the new witnesses to function, and God decides, Jesus Christ decides to fire up the universe. Let's get it moving again. And I will restore the earth to its pristine perfection, and we will begin with one man and one woman. I will create them myself, Yatzer and Bana, and they will become the source of new witnesses. And that is Isaiah 45:18 makes that clear compared to Genesis 1:3. So we've gone through our creation verbs. We've seen how man came on the scene. We now have Isaiah 45:18 that shows us what happened between the creation and the appearance of man. There was chaos in the universe because the universe fell when Lucifer fell. For thus says the Lord who created Bara the heavens, parenthesis, he is the God who formed the earth, molded it out of pre-existing matter, and made it from a pre-existing pattern. He established it and did not create it originally, Bara, as a waste place, Tohu, but instead he formed it by molding pre-existing matter to be inhabited. Close parenthesis, I am the Lord, there is none else. Now let's go again. Opening up, we have the original creation, Bara. Now we go to the parenthesis. In the parenthesis, three creation verbs, Yatzer twice, Asa once, Bana once. He points out that the one who created the universe is the very same one who formed the earth. Yatzer, he molded the earth from pre-existing materials. This is recovering from the chaos. This is the original restoration of the earth after the chaos. It does not refer to the ex nihilo creation, but to an act that occurred after that. It refers to the restoration of a fallen planet. Now to this, Isaiah adds the statement that as the Lord molded the earth, he did so according to a pre-existing pattern. Asa. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. Formed it by molding, made it according to a pre-existing pattern. The pattern used was the perfection of the original creation before it fell into a chaotic state. Now this chaotic condition is addressed by the next phrase, he established it and did not create it a waste place. The creation verb there is bara. The original creation was not fallen and not chaotic. Isaiah informs us that the original ex nihilo creation was perfect by saying the Lord did not create it a waste place. However, it is obvious that it did become a waste place from the fact it required a restoration. A fact that is repeated at the end of the parenthesis, but he formed it, he molded it from pre-existing matter for a reason, in order to be inhabited. Now, I don't know how you do in the winter. I don't do well at all. I can't even get my shower hot enough. I stand in there and shiver. But I don't imagine it's too much below 70. I get cold when it gets below 70. But can you imagine absolute zero? How long do you think you could survive that? And right here we have absolute zero. And nobody can exist under that. And it's got to be warmed up. And that's Genesis 1:2. It's got to be restored. That begins in Genesis 1:3. And then we get 6 days deep into this restoration process. And we have man created. And we've got a restructured environment in which we can now live. We raise the temperature from absolute zero to a lusty little zephyr on the east wind coming in at night and a 72 generally during the day. And we're ready to go. We've got our witnesses up and running. 6 days. So 17. The restoration was undertaken so the earth would be inhabited by creatures in the same perfect environment that accompanied the earth's original ex nihilo creation. The earth was created perfectly. It was absolutely ready for habitation the moment it was created. And then it fell. And then it was restored. to its original pristine perfection. And there's your three panels. 18. So we can see from this verse that the earth was created perfectly, fell into chaos, and was restored to its pristine perfection. 19. The fall into chaos occurred in Genesis chapter 1, but Moses did not mention it as such. Moses does not go into that detail. He saves that for Isaiah, for Ezekiel, and others. He simply states that the condition existed in Genesis 1 verse 2. Now this is from the New American Standard. It begins in your English translations, I think, without exception, "and the earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." Now I want you to compare that verse with verse 1. In the beginning of the universe, God created bara, the heavens and the earth. I've tried to establish for you that a perfect God can only create a perfect thing. First cause, first effect. And when first cause is God, first effect is going to be lower than the creature, but nevertheless perfect. And it was created instantly. It was up and running. No evolutionary processes here. God does not work by evolution. Verse 2, "and," as if we're just continuing on with the same idea, "and the earth was formless and void." It was degraded and empty. There are many ways you can translate tohu wabohu. Degraded and empty. Chaotic and spoiled. I mean, any number of words you could use, and we're going to settle on a couple. But our translation here has formless and void. Now, is that perfection? No. Then it goes on to say, "darkness was over the surface of the deep." Darkness. Darkness. No light. And friends, when there's no light, there's no heat. When there's no heat, there's no movement. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. That phrase actually begins the restoration process. So we don't want to go there quite yet. Point 20. I think we have time to prove that these verses are not sequential, but they are disjunctive. The verse begins with a disjunctive clause introduced by the conjunction "but," followed by the cal perfect of the verb "haya." So you have "haya" here, translated, "but the earth became." Became. Not "the earth was," became. Different from verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Period. But, conjunction of contrast. This is a disjunctive, not a sequential. "But the earth became." That's different. Do you see that? 21. The New American Standard translates the phrase "and the earth was." Wrong. It translates it in such a way as if they considered these verses to be in a sequential construction, linking therefore verse 2 to verse 1. And they are not linked. I can't tell you how many years are between verses 1 and 2. It could be a year, 5 years, a millennium, skillions and skillions of years. We don't know. But I can show you what occurred in heaven. Here is the creation, and this is in perfection. Here is the fall. Following the fall is the trial. Following the trial is all of the things that went on with regard to getting organized for the appeal trial. And so the perfect universe could have lasted for skillions of years, for all we know, 100 years, 1,000,000 years. You pick it. But God, 1,000 years is as a day. And he doesn't let us know how long it is between the creation of the universe and the time he locked down the universe following the rebellion of Lucifer. And we do not know how long the trial at Bar took. I mean, how many angels are there? Each one of them had to testify before the Supreme Court of Heaven. They had to come up there and swear them in. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? I do, sir. Now, do you plan to follow me or do you plan to follow Lucifer? I plan to follow Lucifer. Stand in that line. Next, and then another one would come. And the end result of that was that these in this line over here are found guilty of rebellion. They were given the opportunity to follow me and did not. They instead chose to rebel, and they're in that line over there. Now, how many angels and how long did it take to sort all of this out? We don't know. But once it was done, the Lord created the lake of fire, and he said, "This is where you go." And they said, under their leader Lucifer, they said, "Well, what if we appeal this?" And so they go back into their chambers, and they have a meeting, the Supreme Court of Heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are we going to allow an appeal trial? Well, why not? Why not? Because the charge is, why would a loving God take his perfect creatures and throw them into eternal punishment? What's fair about this? And it's okay, we'll see about the fairness of it all. We'll call in new witnesses. Now, where will we put the new witnesses? Well, why don't we just start out with a couple and see how they do? And we need a place for this, and they need to be lower than the angels. Why don't we use the universe? Planet Earth is good. We have an atmosphere down there. We can coordinate this new creature that can function in that atmosphere. And we'll just restore that. How about that idea? Good idea. Now, who will take care of this? Christ said, "Well, I created the thing. I understand how it all works. I'll do the restoration." And so in comes Genesis 1:3, and the restoration process begins. And then at day 6, we create our original parents. And they created Yahtzeir and Banah, and they're up and running. And we see how they do with the one volitional test they're given in the garden. And that's the whole idea. And that's how all of this functions. Now, how long did that take? We don't know. Whatever how long it took is the amount of time that's between verse 1 and verse 2. Now, how do we know that they're not stuck together and one just flows right into the other? Because of this disjunctive clause that opens up verse 2. It is not, "and the earth was," but rather, "but the earth became." Now, the NASV, as I've noted, says it, as I've quoted, as if it's sequential, but it is not. And this is refuted by the Colonel in the book, Creation, Chaos, and Restoration, 3rd edition, page 10, footnote. Here's the quote. In Hebrew syntax, we'll have time to get this in. In Hebrew syntax, a sequential construction is expressed by "wow." And that's your "and" or "but." And that looks like a bad 7. And that is a letter, a W-A-W. And it's translated, can be translated, if it's sequential, as "and." If it's a disjunctive, then it is "but." Now, which is it? Well, you have to find out by the construction of the verse. So the sequential construction is the "wow" plus a verb plus a noun. So here's how it would look. "Wow" plus verb plus noun. Now, what's the verb? According to your translation, it's "was." What's the noun? "Earth." And then you have sequential, then you would have "and" here, because it's verb first followed by noun. "And the earth was," is the way it would be translated. But it is not that way, because disjunctive shows the "wow" plus the noun plus verb. Noun is "earth," verb "was." "But" here, because of this construction. So now we know it's disjunctive. So we have sequential while plus verb plus noun translated and. Disjunctive construction is expressed by while plus noun plus verb, therefore translated but. It is disjunctive. It is not sequential. See it? So, they're not linked. They're different. Something's happened between verse 1 and verse 2. That's what but tells us. Something's different here. Something has happened here. Point 22. Genesis 1-2 therefore begins with the disjunctive while, followed by the noun earth, plus the verb hayah, in the cow perfect, thus the corrected translation, but the earth became. And what the earth became, as we will note in due time, is tohu wa bohu. It did not start out that way. It was in pristine perfection. And then something happened, but the earth became tohu wa bohu, desolate and empty. And that takes us right back to Isaiah 45, verse 18. Now, I've done all I can do this evening. We'll pick up at this point on Thursday, do a little bit of review to make sure you've got this, and then we'll move through verse 2, and you will see there that in verse 2, the earth is in a chaotic condition. It is frozen solid and needs to be thawed out. That's verse 2, second half. The Holy Spirit takes care of that, and then it needs to be restored, and that begins in verse 3. Well, we'll try to put it all together on Thursday evening. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the Word, for the Holy Spirit that reveals it to us, for His mentorship, and for the information it gives us that builds within our souls that reciprocity, knowing all of these things were done on our behalf, and that we're challenged to be witnesses in the appeal trial of Satan. Therefore, motivate us by these things, for these are the things that preserve us as well as protect us in the hostile environment of the devil's world. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.